Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight. ADHD, satisfaction, expectations, and experience. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Ari Tuckman, always one of our favorite guests. Before we get into the meat of the show, real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, June the 14th in the year 2017 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So real quickly, some announcements is the CHAAD conference is on the horizon. CHAAD stands for Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorder, or Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder. It's November the 9th through the 11th in Atlanta, Georgia. You can learn more about that by the conference by going to chadd.org. We're also very happy and very pleased and very proud to announce basically that this show is being brought to you by CHAAD. We actually have a little tip for that they're going to run here in a second. I will say is that CHAAD is a great organization to support. They are the largest not-for-profit organization that speaks on behalf of those with ADHD. They advocate their voice. You need to become a member of them for simply that reason. In addition to that, you get lots of member benefits. So real quickly, let's run their tip and we'll get into the show.
Are you struggling with managing ADHD, your own or your child's? Connect and recharge at the annual International Conference on ADHD with CHAAD and ADDA. For more information, go to helpforadhd.org. That's H-E-L-P, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Again, thanks for CHAAD and their continued support. Also, it is actually quite fascinating this year. The conference is being a joint conference between CHAAD and the Attention Deficit Disorder Association, which I think is a great thing. Okay, so the inspiration to this show was actually the end of a show I did with Dr. Ari Tuckman, and it's always we're fascinated with paying attention to attention as a means to help those with ADHD move forward. And so this show is actually taped in advance due to some scheduling issues, so we'll run it into its entirety. We hope that you enjoy the show.
We're here with Dr. Ari Tuckman. He's a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He's the author of three books, Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, the ADHD Executive Functions Workbook, More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD, and Integrative Treatment for Adult ADHD, a practical, easy-to-use guide for clinicians. He's a frequent speaker. He's a frequent flyer at Attention Talk Radio. By far, he's our most invited guest because he loves to pay attention to attention like I do. We actually kind of feed off that. I've learned so much from him in our radio shows. It's just absolutely blast. But he's a frequent speaker. He's given more than 300 presentations on ADHD topics. Actually, I'm sure it's more than 300. That's just the ones that kind of come to mind to him. He's got over 100 episodes of his over 100 episodes and more than 2 million downloads of his podcast, More Attention, Less Deficit. He's a member of the National Board of CHAAD, and you can learn more about him by going to his website at adultadhdbook.com. And like in the past and a gazillion times before, Dr. Tuckman, welcome to the show.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
This topic, ADHD, satisfaction, expectations, and experience, were actually kind of born as a conversation at the end of another show that we had done. And it was fascinating to me because you were talking about satisfaction is really kind of a function of an individual's experience and there's expectation. And I kind of like that mathematical kind of equation to that. So can you talk to us about what that's about and really kind of how you began to think of satisfaction in these terms?
Sure. So like, here's an example. Let's say you are driving on the New Jersey Turnpike, you're kind of starving, and you just want to stop and get something to eat, and you get a hamburger at the, I don't know, whatever terrible fast food restaurant is there. Not really by any quality standard, not a great burger, but you are very happy to have it, and you don't expect that much out of it, so, you know, mission accomplished. On the other hand, let's say you're in New York City and you go to I don't know, does Tavern on the Green still exist? Some sort of super fancy restaurant,
yep.
And you get there like Kobe beef burger, and the waiter says, this is the most amazing thing ever. And you say, okay, let's do it. Clearly, that is a much better hamburger than what you're going to get at the Jersey Turnpike. But if when you went into it, you're thinking to yourself, this is going to be amazing, and it falls short, you're going to be less happy with that hamburger than you are with the, frankly, kind of terrible burger that you got on the Jersey Turnpike because you weren't expecting that much of it. So how happy we are, how satisfied we are with something depends not only, like, objectively on the qualities of that item or that experience, but how that fits relative to what we're expecting of it or what we're hoping of it. And so I think that what's kind of cool about that is that it gives us two places to exert influence, not only on the quality of the item or experience, but also on what our expectations are for it. So we have twice as many ways to feel happier about the outcome of a particular situation.
And everybody, you listen to the show long enough, if you've heard these episodes and if you're new, it's always about paying attention to attention, which is really kind of an interesting mindfulness exercise. And I like what you're talking about, Dr. Tuckman, because we're breaking down satisfaction, we're paying attention to it, and we can exert some influences. And I loved, as you described with the hamburger exercises, when I walk into McDonald's, I have an expectation of a hamburger, and it's based off of my experience there. And when I go to a high-end restaurant, I'm expecting something a little bit different. And my satisfaction is based off of that quality and those experience that goes into it. So mindfully managing that can really change your satisfaction, happiness, and expectation. So it really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's now, really kind of an interesting thing because – It's not, you know, it's kind of, it's like so much. We assume it to be kind of a fixed sort of a thing, but as we think about it, and I think this is where acceptance and mindfulness and just generally kind of being flexible enables us, I think, to be a lot happier in the world and to not be kind of so stuck on the, like, how we feel like things should be.
And it's kind of interesting because I'm thinking about this and I'm remembering of some presentations that I remember Rick Green giving on some other areas about expectations. And so I want to kind of ask you, when somebody says the word expectation, what is that to you? Like, what is at the core of an expectation?
I think expectation has two parts. I think there's the, like, cognitive part and then there's a more emotional part. So the expectation part, the cognitive part is, what do I expect? So, like, if I take a piece of paper and I let my fingers loose on it, I expect that piece of paper to fall to the ground, right? So, like, that's a cognitive
yep.
sort of a thing based on experience and whatever. But there's also the emotional component in the sense of, like, how much do I have at stake in terms of, you know, this particular thing happening? So, you know, if I'm hoping to get together with a friend and I'm really looking forward to it, and then they cancel at the last minute, you know, it's not just a matter of, oh, I didn't expect that. That was intellectually surprising to me. But, like, you know, I have some emotional reaction to it in the sense of being disappointed or maybe frustrated or angry, perhaps, or maybe looking at it as, you know what, these things happen, whatever, I can live with it, I can find something else to do with myself. Or maybe even kind of preemptively managing my expectations. You know, are these friends who are generally reliable and therefore I should expect that this thing that we set up is going to work out? Or is this a friend who tends to be kind of unreliable, things tend to come up a lot, so therefore I'm not going to invest too much emotional energy into it before it even happens. And therefore, if it falls apart, I don't feel as disappointed by it because my expectations are lower for the likelihood that this is actually going to work out.
Oh my God, I'm having the usual Ari Tuckman aha. when I asked you this question on expectation, I was not ready. I was not prepared.
You didn't expect
your
that.
but now that you are, I'm like, whoa. And I tell you what, I want to comment on this, but before we do, let's go to a break real quick so that we don't get interrupted by a commercial. Everyone, you got to love Ari. You have to love it, so you got to go check out his stuff. Go to his website at adultadhdbook.com. When we come back, I want to take what he just said, and I want to kind of put some meat on it, give some examples, and actually maybe kind of talk about attention. And anyway, we'll see what happens. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by GigCoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Ari Tuckman having a great conversation about satisfaction. And before the break, we were talking about expectation. And Dr. Tuckman, you were talking about two components of that, an emotional side and a cognitive side. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And what was interesting to me is related to this morning, I have a program that I do. It's called Coaching Yourself. And I'm trying to help people learn how to coach themselves. And we spend a lot of time paying attention to attention. But it was fascinating to me because emotions are that thing that we feel and we react to kind of quicker because it's easier to sense and see. Cognitively, it seems to me that if you can see it like a hamburger, it's about equal. And so the emotions around the vision of your experience with a Big Mac, if you will, equals satisfaction, and it's kind of there. So a lot of times your satisfaction are adjusted because of those experiences. You have the expectation because you can see it. But when we start talking about attention and ADHD, cognitively, it's hard to see your attention. And so it seems to me that we tend to tip much more to the emotional side, and that has a lot of impact on the satisfaction because we don't know what to expect cognitively because we can't see it. What do you think of that concept? That makes sense?
Yeah, no, I think it does. And, you know, so which kind of brings me to another point, which is, you know, we're talking about kind of the very kind of concrete example of a hamburger, but, you know, there's also the whole issue of what we expect of ourselves. You know, what kind of attention do we expect that we're going to be able to have? What sort of, productivity expectations do we have on ourselves? And how do we feel like we compare against other people, you know, which is not how we compare actually to other people, but how we compare ourselves to our interpretation of how other people do, you know, so like there's that part of it. So, so part of the work that I do with folks with ADHD is not just about helping them actually improve how they manage their attention and to use better strategies and be more productive, et cetera, but some of it's also really about kind of accepting where they're at. And it very much fits into this idea that we're talking about of expectations of, you know, if you expect more out of yourself than is realistic, you're going to be consistently disappointed in yourself. If you exaggerate in your mind how easy other people have it or how good other people are at certain things, again, you're going to be disappointed in yourself because you find that you keep falling short. Whereas if you have more accurate and more reasonable expectations for yourself, I think you're going to be a lot happier about it. And of course, if you're happier about it, you're probably going to be less kind of demotivated or dejected about falling short. So you actually do wind up getting more done because you don't waste as much time beating yourself up. So there's like the primary and the secondary and the tertiary even in terms of how this all spills forward.
You know, it's funny. I think it was like 5 years ago we did an interview with you and Barbara Luther about cognitive behavioral therapy and coaching. And at the time, I just remember we were talking about some concepts, which side was on. And finally, you just gave up and said, well, listen, a great idea is a great idea. I don't really kind of care. And it was a classic Ari quote. I was like, it just kind of caught me off guard. And what's fascinating is over the years, one of the reasons I think I like interviewing you so much is we come at it from some different ways. Because you talk about sometimes you're actually helping them manage the tension, and then sometimes just to understand it. And the thing that I'm having the aha before the break is, and this is actually this morning, I do an exercise almost with everybody I work with, Ari. And what I do is I don't tell them what it is. I just explain to them that I'm going to state five words. I ask them not to write them down, and I ask them to resist the urge to repeat them. And I say, after I get done saying those five words, what I want you to do is when you're ready, I want you to repeat them back to me in alphabetical order. And so I do that, and more often than not, I'd say 60% of the time, a person with ADHD will not get the order correctly or they'll forget a word. So when it's done, I say, did you notice that I gave you those five words, and they're visual things like zebra, hippopotamus, bumblebee, et cetera. So it's not hard. It's not anything new. Mm-hmm. I said, you notice how you had to hold those in your mind and then you had to somehow look at them individually and make a second list in your mind without forgetting the first and repeat it to me. And different people will describe, well, it wasn't quite like that, but they're watching their mind and they get done. I said, I don't really care if you got it right or you got it wrong, but that was working memory. And they go, what? I go, yeah, that was working. Remember, you're holding that stuff and you're reordering it. It's about organizing that information in your mind, which is a challenge for those with ADHD. And when they get, if they've missed one or they forgot one, I said, see, that's the problem is these are simple words. And what's interesting is my aha is on the cognitive process, I'm trying to make it tangible and concrete so that they can see it. And then earlier today, I was doing this with an individual. I was talking about, imagine you walk into the door and you got to go to the bathroom like there's no tomorrow. You got your phone, you got your keys, you got your work stuff. Maybe it's cold, you got jackets to put rid of, and you got dry cleaning. And when you walk in the house, you got to go to the bathroom really, really, really bad. I mean, it's dominating your mind. Like, I got to get this thing done. And somebody says the toilet's clogged. And as you race to go resolve that issue to relieve yourself, things start falling out of your working memory. Like, where the hell you put your cell phone or your car keys or your wallet? And they're lost at that point in time. And I say, that's an example of how your working memory is taxed and the challenge of it. And my little aha is I've done this, and I keep doing it with a lot of people, because trying to make the process of working memory visible in their mind, and I learned not to explain attention but to have people witness the process, it makes it tangible. And the fun part about me this is that often when they can see it, it down-regulates the emotional side, and they kind of accept it because they see how it works. And it's interesting to me how at that point in time they begin to activate. So in a similar sense, we're doing the same thing in terms of just the expectation. There's helping them manage their attention, but actually helping them accept it. And this is an example of what's interesting is the hamburger you can see. Attention is more difficult. But I've been using attention exercises for a period of time to help them see it, to move past it. And again, it goes right back to satisfaction. Is that as they begin to see these things, the experience of seeing working memory and the expectations, and they do a lot better at it. So I'm interested in what you thought. The challenge really is how do you make those cognitive processes concrete to adjust those expectations to get the satisfaction? Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, no, it does. It does. And I think that, you know, probably it's safe to say that accurate in, when it comes to what we should expect out of something, whether it's a hamburger or something like attention, I think probably the more accurately we understand it, probably the better, right? I mean, I think that's probably not a revolutionary statement to make that, you know, so knowing oneself well or knowing the world well, having some prior experience or asking somebody else who has prior experience, I think it helps us adjust our expectations appropriately. And, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's like that glass half full, glass half empty. You know, like the glass is exactly the same amount of water in it, whether you choose to view it optimistically or pessimistically. So, you know, it becomes a question of, well, how much water were you expecting? out of it. You know, or it's kind of like there's that old joke where, you know, you get, I don't know, without going into the whole joke, you know, where a kid, you tell a kid, hey, I've got a present for you. It's in the other room. And then the kid goes into the other room and it's, you know, 3 feet of horse manure. And the kid runs in and says, yay, and starts digging around and says, with all this poop, there must be a pony in here somewhere or something, right? So,
yep.
You know, so it's kind of like, well, what was that kid expecting? You know, and that kid, I mean, yep. I don't know how that story ends exactly. You know, is there a pony in there? But, you know, whereas there's other times and other people and other situations where it doesn't take much to kind of knock us down. And certainly the mood that we're in when we enter a situation affects how we interpret what happens in that situation, which affects how we feel about it afterwards. So, you know, so there can very much be a self-reinforcing process or a momentum to whatever our initial expectations are, that kind of like confirmation bias, as they say in Psych 101, that we find the evidence to support what we're already expecting in the first place. So, you know, I think that therapy and coaching and just general, I don't know, kind of mindfulness and self-awareness or whatever, sort of challenges some of that automatic momentum and has us, you know, maybe try to step back a little bit and see things a little bit differently.
I'm having a huge flood of, like, cognitively I'm putting the connections together because so many of our shows, I mean, everything you and I do almost start somewhere with attention, and then we do some stuff to make it more vivid and visible. We recently did a show on ADHD and manners, and the idea was we weren't just looking at it manners. We were looking at it as a self-regulation exercise and talking about the need to kind of pause when a kid's has to wait for somebody to eat, and saying this is actually an exercise, like an athlete does it, and you have to practice it over and over to adjust the expectations that you just don't walk in and say, mind your manners. It's actually a self-regulation exercise that has to be practiced and done a couple times. And it was a great show, but I think we were just really trying to take an expectation and a cognitive piece and look at it a different way and say, this is what this kind of looks like. You and I also did a show one time on what is intuition. So we began talking about scanning attention and narrowing attention, and like I think scanning attention is you pick up on patterns and mannerisms, but you can't point them out until your narrow attention can say that's what it is. Just like when you see somebody and like something's different about them, you're intuitively picking up something, but it's only when you notice that they're shaved their mustache that your narrow attention can point it out. Again, cognitively trying to explain that. You and I did another show years ago on disclosing ADHD, and you did a great job. Disclose the diagnosis or disclose the symptom. And you started kind of talking about cognitively, are you doing it as an explanation or an excuse? And so I think the cool part is I see the thread of everything we're doing is we do so much about trying to take this cognitive piece so that people can see it to adjust the expectations. And so we do a lot of the same thing. It's just that's why I think we feed off of each other a little bit, because at the end of the day, that's what we do on each one of these shows. Just like we're doing right now, is we're saying, hey, satisfaction is a function of expectation. And there's this cognitive piece. If you begin to understand it, it's so much easier to manage as opposed to just that emotional side. There we go. I cracked
right.
the code. How's that?
Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, I think that this, as I'm thinking about it, it this really kind of runs through a lot of the stuff that we have talked about, you and I, but also other things that I've done. So, like, I don't know. I mean, even in terms of like diagnosis of ADHD, if you got a hyperactive boy, but you say, well, you know, boys, they're kind of like that. Like, you know, you're expecting boys to be hyperactive. So this one who is perhaps more hyperactive doesn't stand out. You know, so that kid
yep.
with ADHD does not get diagnosed. On the other hand, if you have someone who has an expectation that like, you know, high levels of compliance should be expected out of a 7-year-old, and then, of course, the 7-year-old doesn't live up to it because developmentally they're not there yet, then, you know, maybe that drives, you know, an attempt at a diagnosis
yep.
of ADHD, or it just drives kind of an authoritarian parenting or teaching style. You know, when I talk about medication and what it means to take medication and how people view medication, you know, it's there as well, expectations in the sense of like, you know, what are you expecting it to do? Are you expecting that there's a pill out there that's going to make boring things fun to do? Are you going to want to do the homework you hate? Are you going to want to file papers? There is not a medication that will do that. You know, so you're expecting too much and you will be disappointed. Or, you know, the inverse, I've had clients on like totally suboptimal doses of medication, but it does some small bit of something. So they've been on the same damn dose for 2 years. And,
yep.
You know, it's not hurting them, but it's definitely not helping them like it could, which I suppose does mean it's hurting them in the absence of the potential benefit. You know, do you have someone who is, I don't know, like they recognize the benefit of the medication and they're willing to tolerate the side effects because they're focusing their attention on the benefits as opposed on the side effects? Or do you have a surly teenager who doesn't like the idea of medication and is focusing on all the ways that it makes them feel bad and blaming them for, you know, everything, blame the medication for everything? So, you know, so again, it's like we can run, I think, a lot of stuff through this expectation lens.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. I want to go to a break, and I want to – this expectation lens is really becoming huge. I would like to just introduce the notion of pressure a little bit when we come back from the break as it relates to some of this, because I think it's it really is apropos. So, everybody, more clearly, are you got – you got your podcast on your website. Don't you have presentations like PowerPoints or they can access there? Or is that, am I thinking of something else?
Yeah, no, I do have some links to past presentations that I've done. So you can get some of that stuff there as well.
And again, it's at adultadhdbook.com, but I'm I have a different lens of looking at this stuff because Ari does a great job of breaking this cognitive stuff down to make it more visible so that you can actually manage expectations, which is I've always marveled at the brilliance of Ari. Now I can stick a fork in a little bit. So anyway, again, to access that stuff, go to adultadhdbook.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Ari Tuckman having another great conversation, as we always do. Honing in a little bit on expectations and experience to determine satisfaction. You know, Ari, it's interesting to me because we've talked a lot about expectations and the emotional side and the cognitive side, but it's interesting pressure to me to meet expectations actually makes things a little bit more difficult because that's increase in expectations and the pressure and the emotional side can get more challenging, which really creates dissatisfaction. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it absolutely can. When it comes to pressure, there's very much kind of a sweet spot in the sense that, you know, a lack of pressure tends to breed apathy, and that's, you know, kind of problematic because we don't bring our very best performance. However, you know, beyond a certain point, more pressure actually tends to have a negative effect on performance, where we get kind of psyched out or we get so focused on the pressure and the negative potential negative consequences that we don't bring our full processing abilities to bear on the task itself. So, so there's definitely kind of a sweet spot in the middle. And, you know, part of being a high performer, I think, is good awareness of how much pressure you feel and being able to upregulate or downregulate as you need to. So, I mean, just kind of an example, I remember when I was in college and I was running cross country and track, I read some stuff about doing like visualization exercises and calming down before a race and stuff like that. And so I did it a couple times, and I actually performed worse, because for me, what I don't need to calm down before a race, I actually do better if I put on loud music on my Walkman at the time, back in the old days, put on loud music and kind of jumped around a little bit, because I needed to upregulate. Now, by contrast, I had a friend of mine who was so upregulated, he would like throw up before, the first couple of cross country races of the season, because he was so anxious. Like, he was the guy who needed the relaxation tapes, and I was the guy who needed, Metallica. So I think it's that self-awareness and knowing what to pay attention to, and to pay attention to the right things for what you need in that moment. So, yeah, I think that, pressure also, I think there's a relation here that if the expectation is too great, then we don't feel any pressure, because it's like, well, I will never be able to do that, so why bother? It's that kind of, guaranteed failure kind of situation that actually becomes demotivating. On the other hand, if the expectation is, well, you just need to show up breathing and have all your fingers and toes by the end of the day, that's not enough pressure. So again, it's that sweet spot between the two that kind of brings really kind of like the best performance from us.
I'm listening to you, and this might be another show, because there's a certain amount of pressure that you need for arousal to actually kind of show up and perform. And it's funny, because when you were talking about, your days, I remember back in my swimming days, after the first time I ever went to U.S. Nationals, I was pretty amped up. But after my eighth one, I just remember actually going to drink coffee to try to get the jitters a little bit, to kind of amp myself up and listening to music, kind of like what you did to get excited about it, which is kind of strange. But the other thing, too, about ADHD when it comes to pressure is the expectation, because I know many of those with ADHD, they can accomplish it, but they can't necessarily accomplish it the way they're supposed to. So I was actually coaching a guy who was actually married to a mental health professional. We were talking about morning routine. There's a spreadsheet they had put together about organizing the kids to kind of get them out, and that was the expectation of the way this person was going to execute it. Then coaching them, we ended up with this funky game called Beat the Buzzer for the kids, and it was a way to get them through the routine in the morning, but it was nothing like what you would imagine on a spreadsheet. It was like a little bit of a game that made it easy for everybody, and it was very difficult because the expectation was that he was going to do it according to the spreadsheet and not the Beat the Buzzer kind of game, which, again, those types of expectations create lots of pressure and inability to perform, which decreases satisfaction across the board, whereas if the expectation was, I'll let this person do it their way, and they beat the buzzer, and the kids got out, as a real experience, we'd be satisfied. And so it's just interesting how that layer is on top of it. And I do think sometimes with ADHD there are some expectations that they do it a certain way, which they might be able to do it, but just not that way. And again, that has an impact on satisfaction.
Yeah. Well, and I think that,
How you put this.
Yeah, and I think that, what made that successful for you with that client is that, they didn't have an expectation that what works for them is what works for presumably the family next door, so that they made it into a different situation. They mixed it up. They did something that was a better fit for them specifically.
It's kind of funny. I'm going to get a little heady, everybody out there. So if you guys don't like statistics and math, you can just kind of tune out here for a second. But, I was explaining to somebody the other day, like what ADHD coaching is about. And, from your days, remember the old regression analysis, and you have like, the bell curve, and you have one, two, and three standard deviations from the mean. As I described, as most of the solutions out there cover everybody within one standard deviation, what that means is that 68% of the people fall like kind of in the middle of a bell curve, and 32% are on the outside of that bell curve. And it's funny, because I describe to people is when I'm coaching people, my target audience is people outside of one standard deviation from the mean, not inside, because I'm dealing with the ones that all that normal stuff doesn't really work that way, and I'm trying to help them understand how they accomplish it in a different way. And when they're coming in, a lot of times I'm adjusting those expectations is we're going to come up with something that's really obvious that works that nobody's ever seen before, just because you kind of do it differently as a means to give them kind of permission. So I got a little bit of a diatribe about that, but I do think sometimes we deal a lot with coaching those with ADHD who lie outside the norms, and we're really kind of helping them cognitively to adjust expectations and do it differently. And when they find what works, it helps with the emotions, and thus we get to satisfaction.
Yeah, exactly. And in some ways, like the people in the fat part of the bell curve, the folks in the tall part of the bell curve in the middle, I mean, this is totally an overstatement, but it's kind of like they don't need coaching and they don't need therapy because like they got it, you know, or at least on the fat part of the bell curve in relation to that aspect of their life. Obviously, we all have many, 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 many aspects of our lives and facets of our personality. But almost by definition, the people who seek some sort of services or assistance or buy a book or whatever are those who are a little bit more on the thin ends, on the outlier ends of a bell curve. But, you know, a lot of what I do with folks with a new ADHD diagnosis is I kind of adjust their expectations, you know, that this is why these things work out well, but those things didn't. And it's not that they didn't because this person is kind of, you know, as the old book title says, lazy, stupid, or crazy. It's that that is the wrong expectation to have for these kind of tasks for this person, which does not mean that you can't expect other things of them, but it just means that that specific expectation is not the right one.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, in wrap, anything else that we need to say that we haven't said before we wrap this up?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that this is, as is often the case when you and I get going, this is like a much bigger topic.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. I would encourage everyone to sort of to think about their expectations. And as you go through the next couple of days, keep a little bit of a third eye out for, especially when you feel kind of tweaked or aggravated about something. You know, like, what was I expecting? Was that reasonable? Was that a helpful expectation to have? Was that not a helpful expectation to have? Obviously, sometimes you need to change the circumstance, but sometimes maybe the thing to do is, or at least somewhat the thing to do is to change your expectation. So at least it takes the edge off and, you know, maybe it puts you in a bit of a better spot, a calmer, kind of more reasonable spot to be able to address the situation, you know, to change the parts that you can.
Yeah. So everybody, I'm very logic based, really 1, 2, 3, 4 = 5. And so I'm reframing what he said just a little different way. So at the end of the day, you have experiences like going to get a hamburger, and when you go to hamburger and you see the hamburger, you have expectations. And your satisfaction is based off of those experiences. So when you go and you get a McDonald's hamburger, you have an expectation of getting a McDonald's hamburger. If you go to high end, you have a higher end, and judging that is depending on that level of what's there. When you move into the cognitive world that Ari and I live in, the problem with it is emotions are really hard to feel. That cognitive process is really difficult to make real and to make tangible. And I think the reason why I love doing interviews is through our process, we have different ways, but we both spend a lot of time helping people make that cognitive piece tangible and makes it easier for them to adjust their expectations, which gets them to a better level of a satisfaction and a better situation to kind of deal with it. And so as a result, my charge to everybody out there, you have a new lens to look at. Go Google Attention Talk Radio and Ari Tuckman. We must have 35 shows out there that deal straight with trying to help people see attention, which is what this show's all about. And I think a lot of success we've had, Dr. Tuckman, is we're making that more tangible so we balance out that emotional side, and at the end of the day, it gets to better satisfaction. And so, I think that's a simple formula as to why we do what we do, and it's because we make that side so much more tangible. So does that logic make sense? So they got 35 classes to go out there and actually to adjust their satisfaction by listening to all those different stuff. Deal?
Right. Yep.
All right. All right, everybody. Again, thank you so much, Dr. Tuckman, for coming on the show. You need to go check out his website at adultadhdbook.com. Also, again, Google Attention Talk Radio and Ari Tuckman. And with all that, Ari, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Take care, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.